very, very important report on Palestinian media and what it is actually saying to the Palestinian people. Itamar Marcus and his team serving the world in essence with talking about the electronic and print media of the Palestinian people and being able then to recognize what really is going on and not what propaganda we're hearing is telling us. That's a very important service of Palestinian Media Watch and Itamar Marcus. Well, over this last week, Brexit seemingly fell apart. We're going to focus on that for the next two guests here on Prophecy Today Weekend. We're going to take one approach and we're going to look at it from the European Union perspective. John Rood, our regular broadcast partner, is going to do that in a moment. And then an old-time broadcast partner from years ago will join us, Dr. Rob Congdon, and he's going to take it from the perspective of the United Kingdom. Will they fall apart? What's going to be next for them? And so let's get right underway as we welcome to this broadcast table John Rood, who actually lived in Brussels, Belgium, for a number of years. Brussels is a hometown for you, John. You know the city, you know the activities of it. Let's get your first thoughts as we begin our conversation about what has happened with Brexit, but again, focusing from the European Union perspective.
Yes, the EU has essentially done what was to be expected. You know, monitoring the European Union 20, 30 years, It's easy to predict some of their likely actions. And so, true to form, the European Union has overplayed their hand as usual. The European Union was basically formed, got the UK into the European Union in lieu of a trading partners. But they overplayed their hand by going for a political union. So there today, there's much pressure on the United Kingdom. Over 2 years ago, of course, they voted to leave. I remember waking up that morning in Switzerland to the news, and they have continued to try to do a negotiation, but the European Union has always had the upper position with this. So now we're getting these quotes out of the European Union. The European Commission President, Jean-Claude Juncker, is saying, you know, the time is running out. The French president is saying the pressure is all on the United Kingdom. Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, she's a hard Brexit is going to be the worst of all the options. And so they have the position of the upper hand, but they're overplaying the hand, which is so typical. It's going to create problems, particularly for the upcoming parliamentary elections. Really, Brexit could be the European Union's least worry in comparison that the whole union begins to fall apart with the rise of parties that will want to leave.
You've mentioned some of the nations and some of the leaders of the European Union in your context of looking at the Brexit disaster, some are saying, because of the failure by the United Kingdom to vote in a plan of some type to be presented to the European Union. Meanwhile, the head of the council, Donald Tusk, he is the man who is the leader of the 28 member states, still 28 members with the United Kingdom still a part of the EU. Donald Tusk is saying, hey, wait a minute, why don't you people just stay in the European Union? Is there any possibility that the European Union as a whole is going to allow that to happen? Are they so upset with what's been going on, they just rather get rid of the UK?
These are very important issues that you're raising up, Jimmy. The European Council President, Donald Tusk, has basically come out to say the deal seems to be impossible. Nobody wants to have a no deal. So then the best thing is just that Britain stays in the European Union. This is very problematic. This makes democracy the central issue. And the United Kingdom, you know, needs to show respect for the democratic referendum. Now we have this possibility of even a second referendum, which would be, this is interesting to note, it wouldn't necessarily be, do we want the European Union in or out? It wouldn't be the same Article 50 referendum. It most likely would be, do we accept or not accept the EU deal that's been presented. And so there's enormous pressure here. Speaking of the leaders as well, it's the Prime Minister of Ireland. You know, he has come out in a quote saying, we are not going to allow a physical border infrastructure to reappear. Well, if that's the case, that's a synonymous with saying essentially, we will not let the United Kingdom leave. And so if the deal and the side of the European Union before all this even began was we're not going to let them leave in terms of the border of Ireland, then how are you supposed to leave? It's very problematic, and we're going to see some really troubled times ahead through how this is all going to pan out.
You know, I was reading an article, John, and I need you to straighten my thinking out, if you will, about Strasbourg. They say that will be the capital of the EU, the future of the Europe, in fact, the entire continent itself. You lived for many years in Brussels. As I understand it, that's the headquarters for the European Union. What's the connection between Brussels and Strasbourg?
This actually is a perfect example of the inherent divisions in the European Union. Brussels is the de facto capital of the EU. The main institutions are there, but yes and no. Actually, there's a clause in one of the treaties that the European Parliament needs to be on French soil. So there is the European Parliament that's official is in Strasbourg. But then again, we have another European Parliament, which is much larger, takes the vast, vast majority of the sessions, which is in Brussels. So people might be astounded to learn that there's actually two European Parliament buildings, and the parliamentarians, they don't actually like to travel back and forth. Their voting record is kind of terrible. So really, there's only, I believe, 12 days, I think it's about 12 days a year, that the European Parliament would actually be in session in Strasbourg. It's also the capital, so to speak, because it has the European Council of Human Rights. But basically, stressing that Strasbourg is the capital of the EU is really stretching it. From a French perspective, the European Parliament must be in that territory. But another thing, speaking about the European Parliament in Strasbourg, it's a great thing for to Google and look at the image. The European Parliament is actually based, the architecture is based on Bruegel's Tower of Babel. And so they pride themselves in the languages that have come together. I took a tour of the European Parliament in Brussels, which has changed from time to time. But the one tour, they quoted and said, we are a veritable Tower of Babel. So that is a very strange perception to think that the Tower of Babel is something you want to identify with in a good sense.
Well, it does have a prophetic significance if you stop to think about it. We'll talk more about that later on the broadcast. Let me ask you a quick answer, if you will, John. I know you're not the prophet nor son of the prophet. How do you think it's going to happen here? Will the United Kingdom be able to withdraw and the European Union go on, or will they have to stay in the EU?
I believe ultimately there will be a separation. There could be a transition period with the border, with the Irish border, which is the biggest point of contention right now. I think actually looking above that this is a type of tipping point now where we've had 50 to 60 years of European integration, and we do know eventually we will have 10 nations. And so we have a transition period of disintegration of Europe. This is the beginning of, and it's likely that the United Kingdom as a major power was the first one to take this step. But then again, we see now the political shift that's upon us, and there will be other countries that will have this same process. Europe, just the EU, just doesn't want to make this look like an easy thing. But notice, if the no deal is the deal, then other countries can easily perceive, we can have a no deal, that's the easiest outcome. And so, as we said before, the EU is in an existential crisis. What will happen will be a political core of nations. It will be get in or get out of the political core. And that's something that would lead to 10 nations much faster.
And John Rood and Jimmy DeYoung talk about political activities in the European Union, the continent of Europe, for the purpose of setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Politics, then prophecy. John, thank you for your report. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you again, Jimmy. It's very important that we see what's coming ahead in this prophetic scenario.